And greetings, everyone. Thanks so much for being with us. It is time for another edition of Three Guys Before the Game, our third episode of the week, our 81st episode all time. Thanks so much for being with us. In studio with the Senator Brad Howe and Hoppy Kercheval and a Three Guys First. A hockey line change will take place. later in this podcast as we bring in basically Three Guy A, Three Guy B, and that is Nathan Adrian, and he'll be with us in just a little bit as we talk West Virginia basketball. The Mountaineers opened up Big 12 conference play last night against Texas Tech. And I was telling Nathan before the show started, normally when you lose a game, you feel really bad, and then it kind of diffuses itself. It dissipates. I'm having a unusual paradox of that scenario in that I'm getting more and more angry as time goes by because I look at this stinking box score and I say, you just had the number 11 team in the country and you had them beaten, but instead you hit yourself in the face with a shovel. That's what you did. So that we'll get with that in just a little bit with Nathan. All right. Topic number one. Mountaineer football coaching search continues. It's been a busy week, right? We started off with, was it smoke or flame that Dana was leaving? Then it became a fully engulfed fire. And then yesterday it became official, as most things do become official, with a Twitter post and a can of Red Bull. That's the new standard for announcing that you're leaving your school. There it is. Oh, for those of you that are watching the podcast, you can get it there. So it now is official, and the search is on. Hoppy, you've had your...
What did they shoot that? A bad den? Look at that. Look at the wood paneling.
Well, I thought it was like an elevator.
You know, I'll be honest with you. And as I said... I said when this whole thing started earlier this week, I enjoyed working with Dana. It was a good relationship, and people don't understand. He was a funny dude, and it was fun. I mean, it was good. So I've had no malice whatsoever. However, when I did see that Twitter post, immediately what came to my mind was like, seriously, man, the quality of that, that's what you come out with? And I'm not going to take a shot. Yeah, I'm going to take a shot. But that kind of stuff needs to look better from a branding standpoint all the way around. I mean, like, I haven't seen paneling in a long, long time. The audio was bad. The camera was bad. It just, that's not what you want. And then last night I saw a video of, he was at the basketball game last night and he threw a couple of football out into the stands. And that also, there's just a difference. Senator, from a marketing standpoint, am I beating the wrong bush here?
Well, now that was nice paneling. That wasn't the 1970 stuff that's in the basement of some
house. That's actual solid wood.
That looked like nice paneling there.
Move on.
What about throwing the football in the stand? That was just.
That's okay. That's what you do. That's what you do. Bring the coach. I mean, move on.
I might have handed the football to the stands. I wouldn't have had the head coach throw it. I was worried about his rotator cuff.
I just thought it was weird. Made me uncomfortable. Kind of just made me uncomfortable.
Whatever. It's Houston. They do what they want. They're trying to get some pops, some views. The thing got hundreds of thousands of views on Twitter. So in all seriousness, if you're trying to be Houston and you're trying to get some buzz off this, okay, fine, I got 500,000 views.
I just think
we need to talk about West Virginia.
Bring in better video production. Anyway, so Hoppy, your ear has been low to the ground. West Virginia's search is underway from what we understand. First conversations have been made. Luke Fickell was on deck yesterday. Neil Brown is the candidate today. What do you got for us?
Well, these interviews are being done in two phases. One is Shane and his team. He's got a couple of people that are interviewing both coaches, Brown and Fickell. And then Igor Ngee is very heavily involved in this. And he has a couple of people that he trusts. And then they're coming in, they're interviewing as well. So there are separate interviews that are taking place. And then I think that Ngee and his folks, I think there's two or three from his staff, and then Shane and his staff will get together and try to make a decision very quickly.
What's that mean? What's quickly mean?
Oh, I think if things go like they expect it to go, and today's Thursday, I think you're talking about Friday night, Saturday, maybe. Maybe it may be that soon.
How about that? Kirchhoff putting down a 48-hour gauntlet on that.
Well, I'm just saying, I think they want to move quickly. These are the two guys, and they're interviewing them now, so there would be no reason for it to go beyond 48 hours unless unless the interviews go poorly or neither one wants the job.
If that happens, then let's face it, we've been talking two guys. And if that happens, then the thing gets a little bit weird at this point. Then you go like, whoa. Now, if West Virginia is able to pick between one of these two guys, if one of those two fall through, I mean, come through, then this will be about as smooth of a coaching departure, transition, hire that I can recall.
You're right. And if it does, then that gives more credit to Shane and his group for how they've organized this. Knew Dana was leaving at a certain point, saw it, had their stuff ready. Here's the guys we want to go to. Are those guys interested? Are they interested enough that we go interview them? And I thought they've done a really good job of positioning both as one and 1A.
Yes.
There's not a Fickle's in the lead, Brown's in the lead. So if you're representing Fickle and or Brown, you're not running the risk right now of one of them saying no thank you and the other one saying, well, I was interested, but I'm not going to be anybody's runner-up. I'm out. It would appear they've positioned, West Virginia has positioned it exactly as you would want to position it.
And Brad, building on that, what I understand too is that this was not we hear that Dana might go to Houston. We better pull out that wrinkled piece of paper with names on it. The athletic department started weeks ago when there wasn't going to be when the extension thing fell through with Dana, accumulating almost Pentagon-like. You know, if you were going to invade this country, what would it be like? And gathering information, talking to people, getting background. So my understanding is they went into these interviews extremely well prepared, already having done a lot of their due diligence. So the interview, not the first part, really the last part.
Well, as you do, and listen, as we've sat here and said what seemingly unendingly since this has started, we felt like we've been on this desk the whole time. That's if Dana could see the writing on the wall. Right? Shane's not offering a longer extension. If Dana saw the writing on the wall that he needed to look for an out, don't you think Shane Lyons and his folks knew if there's no acceptance here and this is all we're willing to offer, this process was going to happen either now or in a few months. So it would make sense that they would have their ducks in a row. Quite frankly, it'd be shocking if they didn't, not right. That they have.
What do you think determines the ultimate selection?
I tell you what I've heard over and over is that, of course, you want somebody to have extremely high level of football acumen. But also, there's an important part here about a cultural fit. Who's going to be a good fit at West Virginia? Who's going to have some of the things that Dana didn't have? I've heard a lot of talk about family and who is anxious to become part of the community. And those kind of intangibles, I've heard a lot of those things that I think that's an important part, the fit. Along with being able to coach a football team at a higher level than you have now.
Senator, what do you think determines it?
I think that's part of it, but I also think some of it's going to be who wants the job more. I think that's part of why you sit down with these two individuals. I mean, if you look at the two situations on the surface, Luke Fickle would seem to be in a position where he could look at this job and ultimately say, you know what, I'm in a pretty good spot. I'm going to hold. I've got some guys coming back next year off a really good season. I'm in a good position salary-wise. I maybe want my first Power 5 job to come from the Big Ten. I'm okay. I want to explore this, but I'm okay. If I'm Neil Brown, I'm outside looking in at Neil Brown, and you've won three straight years of 10 wins or more at Troy, it's got to be time for Neil Brown to take one of these opportunities. He's been in the mix or mentioned for so many different names. It feels like it's the time for Neil Brown, if offered a job like this, take it and get to the Power 5.
I know a little bit more about Fickle's situation, family situation than Brown's, but Fickle, I think he has six kids. He made a commitment. He was purposefully made a commitment when he went to Cincinnati 2 years ago. I interviewed somebody from the Cincinnati Inquirer this morning who's covered the story, and they said he mentioned over and over about how he's very ingrained in the Catholic community there. His son is on the high school football team, very good high school football team there. So he has, and he's been in Ohio all his life, he has a lot of Ohio connections. He has a lot of connections in that area. He recruits hard the Cincinnati area. So you would think that it might be a little bit more difficult for Fickle to make the jump than it would Brown.
And from a perspective that you mentioned a minute ago of character matters and of family may matter in this, in talking to people that are around Neil Brown and have worked with him, that's what came up first in my conversations with them. Family guy, the way he treats people with respect, the way he handles his press conference, an opening statement, 6 to 8 minutes, and will tell you the questions that you're going to ask, he answers them before you even ask them. So it sounds like you've got two guys that are of similar profile here. Now it's just a matter of talking to them, finding a fit, and finding out which one of these guys wants the job more.
Quick bounce back to Dana's deal. The details from his Houston contract have been released. And in essence, money-wise, it's very similar to what West Virginia's deal was. But, Brad, he gains security over length of time.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about whether this was a $20 million guaranteed contract, a five-year $20 million. According to Steve Berkowitz, USA Today, who's all over these coaching contracts, he's the one that maintains the database, so he's your expert when it comes to this. He's got this contract as 3 years, the first 3 years guaranteed, which is $11.5 million. The last 2 years began at 60% guaranteed and bumped to 100% guaranteed if Dana wins a conference title or plays in a New Year's Six game. So it's really starting as a three-year guaranteed contract for him.
And at West Virginia, his deal would not have given him that length. And so basically he was able to opt 4 years.
Correct. Reset the calendar and get some years back on the back end.
You know, as we've said over and over, that it really, the farther away you get from sort of the shock of change, the more sense it makes for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree with you. And so, as you said, it might be a couple of days here before West Virginia makes the call. That's a relatively short period of time unless you're involved within the program. So you have got staff people over there right now and assistant coaches, weight people, all staff all the way across, nutrition, academics, people that were brought in, video guys and girls. It's a tough time. I came across someone here locally today, and she was in tears over what could happen to someone that she's got, family member that's involved in the program. You know, you're in this state, so it's difficult, and it would be sooner than later. Would certainly be better, I think, all the way around.
Tremendous uncertainty, and I've said it a couple times. That's who you feel for in these situations. It's not the head coach. The head coaches are the most secure of all of the staff members in this situation. It's everybody else that comes with that. Just put yourself in that situation. You're not out of a job, but you may be out of a job. But what do you do today? Do you come in the office and still do your normal work? Never mind just the recruiting aspect. Just think of the day-to-day people that keep that operation going. What are they supposed to do today? Some of them are going to be fine, and they're set, and they're university employees. Others are at will here. What do they do? What does their life look like? That's a tough spot to be in right now. So the sooner the better, not just from a football standpoint and get the program moving forward, but just from a lifestyle standpoint of so many of those staff members that are tied into football.
You know, and we tend to focus on, like you said, the head coach, and what about these assistant coaches? What about their kids? Mm-hmm. They'll come home from school, you know, and they're asking, oh, I got a girlfriend, got a boyfriend. I mean, those things are real. Those are real things of real people that have nothing to do with wins or losses. It's lives being affected. You know, I tell you, when that really dawned on me was one of our friends is Steve Dunlap, a longtime assistant at West Virginia. He's part of our broadcast on game day. And every time we casually said, fire that guy, he would say, you know, there's families here.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of it resonated, I think, with us, Brad. We thought, yeah, you know, there is a domino effect when you make these kind of changes.
Well, you've seen it. I mean, you've traveled with the team many years. I worked in the athletic department for a number of years. I mean, that's part of the deal. That's part of this that isn't sexy to talk about in these situations because you focus on the team and the game aspect of it. But that's a real thing going on. So when you want to move along in these searches, even if people are going to be out of a job, at least they know what's coming next. It's the uncertainty that exists right now that hangs in the balance. It's so hard.
And if I could turn that also, if you have a coach that you're after who is considering it, you know, you have to talk to the spouse and the family, and are they willing
sure.
to uproot? Because I think Brown's been at Troy for a long time. He was an assistant previously.
Well, he's ready to roll, though. But Brad's right on Neil Brown. You've won 10 games 3 years in a row. The only thing you could do is go down.
Yeah.
Right? That's about the only thing you could do is go backward.
You're in the mix for all these jobs now. If you win 10 next year, you're in the mix for... Yeah, I mean, you're in the spot. It feels like it's his time to make a move if he's the guy.
So in a perfect scenario, the thing will come out sometime in the next couple of days this weekend. The students start classes again on Monday, so your football players and the gang will all be back on campus on Sunday. Conceivably perfect scenario. You hire the guy over the next couple of days, and on Sunday night, you bring everybody together and you say, hey, how y'all doing? I'm the new head football coach here, and you just start the process.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. All right. So so that's what that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our cameraman, Matt, inside the in the building. Now we go. Ready? Here comes the Chris Collinsworth entry. Ready? Do the slide. There he is. He's in. We slid in Nathan Adrian. He's been a fist bump. It's good to see you guys getting along. Hi, Nathan.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm well, buddy. So conference play started there last night. Well, Nate, it's a podcast. You need to say something. I mean,
Nate is just like disgusted.
Question there. I mean, it left you speechless. I see. All right. So, you heard what I said at the start of the thing. I said the game was making me more angry as time went on rather than dissipating. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. You know why? Is because it was such a winnable game that could have potentially turned around the season to come in and have the number 11 team in the country, even though they might not actually be the number 11 team in the country. They are right now. So if they come in and you can get a win, then that could potentially turn your season around and do good things for you, but we just threw it away.
Yes, no pun intended. 22 turnovers by West Virginia. 22 turnovers, which Texas Tech converted to 27 of its 62 points, so almost half of its points came off of West Virginia turnovers. Why, in your opinion, Nate, when you watch the turnovers, I guess just the one word question is why?
It's a lack of fundamentals. It's people not taking care of the ball and being strong with it. People aren't squaring up and making the right reads on passes, and they're not. It's like they don't know where they're supposed to pass the ball, because whenever you see somebody cut. Me, myself, I don't know if anyone else can, but you see when people are wide open and the ball's not getting to them until late, where somebody can get a hand on it or a defender's going to get their hands up and tip it at the point of the pass. So I think it's a lot of things, but fundamentals are the main problem.
Okay. So following that through, obviously the coaching staff has brought that up probably to the point where they're just beside themselves. They keep saying square up, square up, square up. Why does it keep happening?
It's just a lack of caring. You got to want to do it in the game. You got to want to do it every day to the point where it's ingrained in you that it's muscle memory. The coaches can only say it so much. At the end of the day, they can't go out there and square up for you. They can't make the pass for you. You have to do it.
Yeah.
I tell you, I defer to you guys on the X's and O's. I watched the game last night, and I thought it was like a demolition derby.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that you ever watch a demolition derby where there's cars running into each other?
Yeah.
And it's not like nothing very productive is going on, but there's some action, there's some banging and things. But really, when it's all over, not much has happened. Okay, everything's kind of stalled out. And I tell you, there was a part in the first half where it was just like 20-12, and you thought, what is this? It was painful to watch. I'm not judging about strategy or plays. I'm just saying from watching the game, it was painful to watch.
Good point.
That is because it's two teams with bad guard play and decent forwards. But whenever you don't have good guards to get to your forwards, they're required from one side of the court to get to the other side of the court, and it just looks like it's a wrecking crew going through.
A wrecking crew. And the exception for me watching the game was Culver, because when Culver at times got the ball down in the low post, you say, oh, this guy's got some skills. This guy can do some things. After that, people missing free throws, turnovers. It was a mess.
So take that point. So if I hear you guys correctly, I said last night, I've kind of resigned myself. It doesn't feel like this is an Elite Eight team for West Virginia. So I've kind of resigned myself, not necessarily moral victories, but I'm going to try and take the slant of pull some positive things out each game.
How about you?
I'm not going to be beside myself. I'm not going to get all flipped out. This has been a heck of a 3-year run with West Virginia. I'm looking for some positives. I don't have to coach the team. I'm not saying Bob Huggins should think this. I'm just going to look at it that way. I think I'll be happier as you move through the season if I just look and say, all right, give me some little positives. So you guys walk away from this where you came within three of beating the 11th ranked team in the country, a team that would have given, that's going to be in the mix theoretically for a Big 12 title. You guys walk out of there with more angst than you had, or you walk out saying, hey, Culver's got a chance here. You could see him piecing together with Shubway next year. What's going on? I got some things here to pull out. You were right there. You could have won the game. So you're more bummed out than you are encouraged by what you saw.
Yes. Yes. Because I want to win all the time, and I'm not ready to start thinking about next year, although that's probably where this thing's going
to
be leaning here. I understand
that
sooner than later. I get that point of it. But what makes me crazy mad is that you just gave them the game. 14 missed foul shots, 18 out of 32 is 56%. And like Tech's coach Chris Beard said after the game, if they make three or four more free throws, we're standing here in a much different mood than we are right
now.
You
know, Brad, under your philosophy, Brad, if I jam an ice pick in my ear,
yeah,
that's that strategy. Like, it's going to feel really good when I stop.
Yeah.
But you have to jam the ice pick in your ear until March.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm just trying to be a positive guy here. That's all I'm trying to do. I don't know why I'm getting attacked for my positivity here. I'm just trying to look on the bright side of things.
Well, let me ruin.
I mean, if you want to get down, I'll get down the mud with all the flaws as well. I say, ultimately, in all seriousness, I think you're right. I think that's why last night, even if you go into it with the attitude I had, you walk out because if nothing else, the guard play didn't necessarily surprise me. We had seen that. We knew that was coming. All the fouls and the ugliness, that didn't surprise me. The free throw shooting is the one. Because this team has been pretty good at free throw shooting
70%.
Over the last multiple, not just this year, right? Yeah. The program has been pretty good over the last few years. That in particular was one where I can see you walk away from that game wanting to jam the ice pick in your ear and not taking it out yet, because you should have won last night's game. Just take that statistic alone.
Yeah, but again, that's a lot of lack of discipline. Over Christmas break in the last week or two, practices have been much harder than what they were at the beginning of the season because Coach Huggs realizes that he needs to turn this around now. So then after you get done with a three and a half hour difficult practice where you're running up and down and you're told to make 100 free throws, which is going to take 20 minutes of your time, that's not what you want to do. You want to go home and lay down. So you have to have the discipline to sit there and make all 100 of your free throws. And as you can tell, they're probably not happening.
Okay, it's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. You asked the question, Brad, what is the bright spot from last night, and I don't think there's any question. I the only one I can think of is Derek Culver, and I'm hugely becoming a Culver fan. We had two Culvers out there last night, and both played obviously pretty well, especially Jarrett for them in the second half. He took over. When that was a huge break for them when Wes Harris fouled out, and I thought that was a garbage technical that they called against him because he didn't say a word. He just kind of ran out there. That happens a lot. What did you think of that technical?
Probably could have kept the whistle quiet.
Yeah, could have. Anyway, he was doing a great job on Culver. Wes Harris was doing a great job on Culver.
He can guard.
And as soon as Culver, he just took that ball straight to the basket. So that was a huge part of the game. But anyway, so yeah, Derek Culver. So now I've got to cross my fingers, my toes, my arms, my legs, and anything else that I can cross that he behaves. Because knock on for Micah, since he came back, he's been on time. He's been doing everything right. Right now, he's the one ray of sunshine that you can wrap your arms around. And Chris Beard said this after the game. He said he's a pro, which is what we were told when he came into the program. 6'9", 255, 260 pounds, and he can get the ball to the rim. He can run. He can get the ball to the rim, and he goes after rebounds. And so far, that's great, and that's encouraging. And you look at that, and you go like, okay, there's a huge piece there. And you start playing what-ifs. What if Sagabaugh Kanate was healthy? What if you had those guys out there working a little bit? You got a chance, but until this guard play gets fixed, I don't think anything's going to be able to be consistently consistent, and as a result of that, there's no easy fix to this.
But Nate, Culver's a big rep guy at this point, right?
That's
similar to you
say
in your freshman year, where the leap you can make from one year to the next, you need him with minutes
I'm
now.
I'm going
reps.
Opposite of what if Sags was in there. I'm going what if Derek didn't get suspended for 12 games and lose 2 months of practice. That's on him because he can't keep in line off the court. So if he's 12 games in, how much further along is he than he is right now?
It'd be scary.
Exactly.
Because
we'd probably win that game last night.
In three games,
well, heck, if he was too much further ahead, he may leave. He may be an NBA guy, a one and done. So you need him to stick around and continue to develop at a high rate. I mean, because he is impressive early.
All right, they're not going to change the score. It's going to be 62-59. West Virginia loses. Now you go to Texas. Texas opened up league play at Kansas State, beat them by 217 points. I mean, where did that come from? I mean, did Durant play for Texas last night? I mean, where? I'm looking at that score and I'm going like, I know Dean Wade's not playing for K-State, but like.
That's a big one, though. I mean, don't gloss over that. I mean, that's the Big 12 preseason player of the year. You're without him and that team looks a whole lot different.
I understand that, but it's in Manhattan. They did the thing with the train, the cannonball, the whole thing. That's not it. I mean, but like, hey. Here's the deal, dude. Texas has not been playing well.
No.
Now, you've seen who they've lost to.
I have.
So for them to go to K-State, Dean Wade or no Dean Wade, and get absolute bush, you know, get bum rushed. That shocked me. And now West Virginia's got to go there, and they're playing the game. It was at 2 a.m. in Austin. Is that what time we're starting that one? 2 a.m. 9 o'clock on Saturday night. And I know no one will be there comparatively for other Big 12 schools, but still, now you put yourself in the hole. You could have been going out there 1-0, bouncy. You're feeling good. Yes. You go in well, there and you go.
I'd say you got 17 games left, man. You are already. You want me to slide over in the chair there? You need guys, to go take some air.
You guys are in total. Like Brad's already moved on. He's looking next.
He's looking at next year. Next year's
schedule. Johnny Sunshine over here. Clover looks great. I've talked more Oscar Shoeboy than I have anybody on this
and
roster.
Tony's just like, oh, we got to go to 9 o'clock at night. Got to play the game. I mean, Tony is in a bad way. You need to go there. Get some barbecue in you. Call a game, surprise a team here or there. You'll get a couple wins here or there because you'll catch them on a down night. Somebody will get hot. Come on. Something will happen.
I'd like to scream at them. I'd like to go in the locker room and scream at them.
I think that part's taken care of.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
I think that's covered.
They need another voice screaming at them. They're frustrating to watch. Some of these unforced turnovers, they just make you make you go crazy.
Well, if you're going to be a team that counts on defense and is going to have sort of limitations offensively, you can't turn the ball over.
No, right? You can't turn the ball over 22 times because you give them 22 extra possessions that you got to play defense. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of defense, real quick before we go, was that a triangle and two, box and one situation last night? What was happening there? And second part of that question, when was the last time Bob Huggins employed a defense like that?
It looked like a box one. I think the last time we did it was against Buddy Hield, and we got out of it pretty quick and just went back to just denying them because exactly like they did. You can get open shots in box and one or triangle and two. You just got to get to the right spots because there's no way to cover an entire court with four or three people. Yeah.
So sometimes you're just trying to steal a couple possessions by throwing a different look, then you
got
to get out.
Culver got hot, obviously. You're just trying to put someone on them to kind of throw them off and get them confused and out of their offense.
Did you notice that with the crowd, they had a big crowd, but mostly instead of cheering or booing, you just had people with their mouths agape, like, what am I watching?
Well, it's hard, man. West Virginia and Kansas are one of four teams in the Big 12 to win 11 or more games in the last 4 years. West Virginia's used to winning games, especially at home in the league, and Texas Tech wins in Morgantown for the first time in its history.
7 years.
7 years, and they went into their locker room, and they had a hell of a dance party. It's on Twitter. They had a hell of a dance party, which shows, you know, what it means for teams to come in here and win. And I don't necessarily know if the Mountaineer guys get that. And, Bob Huggins, he had a cute line after the game about, basketball and your girlfriend, they're kind of the same. If you ignore them, eventually they just kind of drift away. And if you don't do the deal and give the work necessary to the relationship with the game, then things happen. Obviously, he's sending huge messages. He started things off by saying, guys aren't using the building. The building's there. And I think that's probably the most frustrating part. And my gosh, it's already January, and if they're not using the building now, and they've been told since they got here to use the building, it's not going to happen.
Well, he said you would think it would behoove him. He was talking about somebody who's been shooting poorly from the field to get in the gym and maybe drag about four or five guys with them, you would think. And that's about, Nate, that's about leadership. That's about guys on their own saying, let's get in here and practice.
It is, but you can't really make four or five guys go in with you. At the end of the day, these are college kids. They're going to do whatever they want to do. So that's hard to do, but you got to have at least the discipline to do it on your own.
Yep. All right. So I'm.
You feel better?
No, he doesn't at all. Look at him.
He looks great over there.
To steal a line from his public affairs show, you released some steam today on the program.
That's Fridays at 11:30, and the host has no comment when he does that. How do you do that? That's gutsy on your part.
What's that?
When you do steam release,
be self-actualized.
I mean, they say mean things to you.
That's the biggest thing. Self-actualization.
Are you like Dana? You don't care what people think?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right. So on that note,
how closely do we watch Houston next year?
Oh, I'll watch. Yeah. Who they open with?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's a tough opener.
In Norman.
It's a tough opener. I'll watch.
Watch him win the game. Oklahoma has a new quarterback. Coaches has a new contract. Watch him go win the game.
That's a good time to get him.
Can you imagine if that did happen? Mountaineer fans would be just rolling. Just rolling out of the ground.
You'd be sputtering. You'd be sputtering.
Now, I feel like we've been in here every day. So are we doing another one tomorrow? Or are we going to wait until after the Texas game?
If they hire a coach, you got to do one.
Yeah, well, it depends on when it is. I'm going to be gone for it, but you guys can jump on in here and certainly do one if I'm gone. I'm back. If well, you'll probably we'll do one. So when do you want to do one?
We got to do one. Don't
when they hire the person.
Well, we just got to see. We got to see when it transpires.
Yeah,
people are traveling, other events, doing things. We'll let you know. We'll let people know.
Yeah, thanks to everyone listening. We've had our biggest. Our biggest episodes back to back in our 80 and 81. This is 81. Episode 80 and episode 81 were the two biggest we've ever had. So if you're listening for the first time, we appreciate that very much. And I think depending on what happens, if they hire, you'll get one. Just subscribe so it pops into your phone wherever you get these from. And if not, then Monday we'll be back, as some would say, irregardless. They'd say it incorrectly because it's not a word. But regardless, we'll be back on Monday, if not sooner than that. Nathan, thanks so much for sliding in.
You're welcome, buddy. Okay. I'm always here.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So Nathan has slid. Hoppy is in. The music is on, and we are out. Ladies and gentlemen, episode number 81 of Three Guys Before the Game is now complete. Thanks so much for being with us. Keep up to date with what's shaking at WVMetroNews.com. And I'm going to try to make myself feel better. We'll see. You can't.